Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. I hope you guys are doing well today. Man, we are in the middle of football season, and what a great season it's been thus far. We've kicked it off quite well here in the Chattahoochee Valley. This past weekend, we had a great competition with Tuskegee and Morehouse at the Tuskegee Morehouse Classic. And of course, everybody know at this point that Tuskegee was victorious 21-10. As a matter of fact, we had a nice crowd, had a nice tailgate going on. And I tell you, when we do the classes here in the Chattahoochee Valley, we know how to do classes, baby. And we have a very, very, very good time. So we have one down and two more to go. And today we're here to talk about the second classic that is coming up, the Whitewater Classic 2019, the sixth annual to be exact. And this will pit Tuskegee University against Lane College. So this should be a very, very good game, and we're looking forward to it. And I tell you, to kick it off right, to get ready for Classic Weekend, I'm fortunate enough and lucky enough to have both coaches on the line. Now, we had to keep them in their prospective cities because we didn't want no mess on the at the studio. So we got some of their times. We got them on the line, and I have with us the legendary Coach Willie Slater, head coach of Tuskegee University, as well as Coach Derek Burrows, Lane College. How are y'all doing, gentlemen?
Good, sir. How are you?
Absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. Well, Coach Slater, let's start with you. So, Tuskegee, you know, you guys had a turnaround in that Morehouse game. You know, you had a little small losing streak there, but, you know, the spirit of Tuskegee, you came back and you didn't look to the past. You're looking forward. And so, next, you got ahead of you the Lane College coming up next weekend, coming up on the weekend of the 26th. So, What's your outlook for that game, Coach?
We just hope we can play well. We've had some tough games this year, played some very good opponents. But we were fortunate in that we were able to come out on top against the Morehouse.
Okay, all right. Well, that's great. Now, Coach Burrows, what about you, sir? What's your outlook for this game?
Well, I mean, I'm quite sure Coach and I, we're on the same page in terms of getting our teams prepared to play each other. Of course, both of us expecting to try to win the game. Unfortunately, over the last three games, we've kind of hit the meat of our schedule, playing Miles, University of Arkansas, Pine Bluff, and Albany State. So that's a tough three games for us. So. So we're it'll help us if we could go into homecoming this week and defeat Kentucky State going into the Whitewater Classic. So that's kind of where we would prefer to be.
Right. Well, that's great. And I tell you, HBCUs are providing quite a few players for the NFL. You know, historically, we've been doing that for a while. And I'm sure both of you have some standout players on your team that you're certainly going to want us to look out for. Like Coach Slater and Coach Burrows, can you guys just imagine the people that see you from the stand? They look at you guys as giants. You're legends. You're giants. You're big. And, you know, and Coach Slater, you know, you've had a very, very, very decorated career yourself. I mean, you know, you've been places, like Jacksonville State, and if I'm not mistaken, right, and North Alabama. So you've had Jacksonville State. You've had that crossover appeal. And you've been able to work in various areas. However, you're at Tuskegee right now. And when I see you over there coaching, I can just tell that you are totally in a zone of comfort and a zone of love and a zone of embrace. Am I misjudging you?
No, I coached at those schools that you're talking about. I coached at Troy for 8 years. I coached at North Alabama for 7 years. I coached at Jacksonville State for 4 years. I coached at Temple University for a couple of years, and so I spent over 25 years coaching. I call it on the other side, so I know what's going on there. But I'm at Tuskegee University. I think it's one of the best institutions for young African American men in this whole country, because not only are we going to have good football teams, but we also going to be good academically, and they're going to go out and they can get a job anywhere in the United States of America. Basically, they can get a job anywhere in the world. And I just think that's one of the greatest things ever, you know, for young people, for young men, And but the thing at Tuskegee, we have like 66% girls,
wow. you know,
which is good. But I mean, where are men? Where are men? That's my appeal. We gotta fight for our men, get them educated so that they can be great citizens and productive in this country.
Wow. Man, Coach Slater, Coach Burrows, y'all are blowing me away today. And I kind of hate that we got such short time, because when I get to talking like this, I like this kind of stuff to be on the air. This is what our people need to hear. This is what our young folks here in the Chattahoochee Valley needs to hear. And our radio broadcast reaches almost to Tuskegee. We have a tower down in Eufaula, Alabama, on one of our stations. So people hear this all over the region, or they will be hearing this all over the region. And I just think that it's so amazing. And what you two do is so amazing, because oftentimes at many of our HBCUs, the sports program carries the institution a lot from a name perspective, from a recognition perspective. When Tuskegee was, you know, plowing through the playoffs, and we had Winston-Salem State that, you know, went to the national championship game. I think the first HBCU to make a national championship game since FAMU won it many, 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 many years ago. You know, so I'm not to my, you guys would know better than me, but I think that's about accurate. And so, I think as time shows, we are becoming more competitive, and it's due to good guys like you coming back, willing to fight and willing to train and mentor and coach young men and women that just want opportunities to succeed with the little resources. And to me, that's reminiscent of what many of our HBCU founders went through. They founded institutions with very little. I mean, Mary Bethune-McLeod founded Bethune-Cookman with $1.50 in a train car. You know, so if you look at where we have transgressed from as HBCUs to where we are now, I think we are doing phenomenal. And the fact that a name like a Albany State or a Tuskegee or a Lane or a Miles, you know, or a Fort Valley may come up any given year and talk to who's going to make the playoffs is doing tremendous justice for those institutions. Now, I'm going to ask y'all one last question. I think I know the answer to it. I'm going to let you go, because I know you need to, you know, plan the rest of the evening and get ready for your players. But, Coach Burrows, who's going to win the Whitewater Classic?
Well, you know, it's funny. I've been trying for 7-8 years to beat Coach Slater. And I know, you know, if I keep swinging, hopefully one day it'll happen. So hopefully next week I'll swing one and get one win in. So Lane College, go Dragons.
Slater is he's a tough target to beat. Now, I'm telling you, the man, he pulled some tricks out of his hat, boy. He snatched quite a few from us over at Albany State. But I think, you know, under the coaching legacy of Coach White before he left Albany State and some of the other ones, and I think Coach Slater say that we both had some surprise games between Albany State and Tuskegee. But we're gonna focus on Lane and Tuskegee right now. So Coach Slater, Coach Burrows say that Lane's gonna win the game. Who you think's gonna win the game?
I like it, say the team that has the most points gonna win the game.
So you gonna quote the rules on us, huh? Well, I tell you what, I appreciate both of you gentlemen so much, and hopefully in the future I'll be blessed to speak with you again, where we can talk a little bit more about the impacts of athletics on our HBCUs throughout the nation, because I think that's a piece that's oftentimes overlooked. You know, everyone gets excited about homecoming, but we overlook like the economic impact for the region where we live and how we should incorporate some type of significant giving program back to the athletic programs, why we have so many people on our respective campuses, not just by buying a game ticket, but engaging in other platforms. So thank you, gentlemen, so much, and I appreciate your time. And hey, let's go Lane and let's go Tuskegee, Whitewater Classic 2019. Welcome back to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We are continuing our conversation, everything Whitewater Classic 2019. And you just heard a little bit from Coach Slater and Coach Burrows, and they got us all excited about the game and about the competition. So now we got to talk to some of our higher level administrators. We have on the phone with us right now, on the line with us, Dr. Logan Hampton, who is the president of Lane College. And we also have Dr. Sharon Burnett, who is the executive vice president and CFO of Tuskegee University. How you doing, Dr. Hampton? If you don't mind, can you bring us greetings from the great Lane College?
Well, it's certainly my pleasure to bring greetings, and thank you, Attorney Reeves, for hosting us and inviting us to be a part of this conversation. We are excited about participating in the 6th annual Whitewater Classic. We're looking forward to a big victory for Lane College. I have not had much success against Tuskegee in football, and so I'm looking to start a new tradition.
Well, Dr. Hampton, I got to ask you, did you and Coach Burrow practice that same line? Because he said the same thing. He said he's been swinging at Slater for a long time, but he going to try to get him this time.
Well, it must be true,
man. Well, I appreciate that. And now we're going to turn to Dr. Sharon Burnett, who I tell you, all my people out there listening, she's playing a very tricky role here. She's walking a tightrope because she's a Lane graduate, and she worked for Lane College for many, many years, but now she's representing Tuskegee University. And so, Ms. Burnett, I want to hear how you're going to twist this one. You got the floor, Ms. Dr. Burnett.
Well, good afternoon to you all. It is my pleasure to bring you greetings from Tuskegee University. I'm excited about the spirited competition that will take place between Tuskegee and my alma mater, Lane College. And I promise you it will be a show. I know that Dr. Hampton mentioned the record and that he's looking for a change. We're over on the TU side. We're looking for that to not change. So we're going to enjoy a spirited competition and make sure that all of our athletes are safe and well, and it's a great competition, but, you know, the best team has to win.
Absolutely. You know, in this region, we are excited about the game because, you know, we have the pleasure over here in the Chattahoochee Valley of enjoying three classics throughout the year. We just wrapped up the Tuskegee Morehouse Classic, and now the Whitewater Classic is coming up, and it's coming up on the 26th. And we also have the Fountain City Classic that we wrap out the year with Fort Valley State and Albany State University. And so everyone here just gets very excited about the football season and seeing old friends and having great times and hearing some great bands. And I will tell you, Dr. Burnett and Dr. Hampton, you two will be extremely proud of Coach Slater and Coach Burrows because they really brought it home with the significance of HBCU football and the impact that we have on our local economies and how important it is to our culture. And I just want to give you, both of you, an opportunity to expound upon that about the greatness of HBCU football and the spirited competitions. And we'll start with you, Dr. Burnett.
Absolutely. So the HBCU tradition in football is very important. What we know is that a lot of majority institutions require our talent for their success in their programs. But notwithstanding, our programs stand on their own. They have produced a number of NFL players, those that continue to work in the NFL, as well as come back to their alma maters and other HBCUs to share the talents and skills that they have. That has happened at Tuskegee, and I know as well at Lane.
All right, amazing. Okay, Dr. Hampton.
Yes, it sounds like our line is breaking up just a little bit. I want to be sure that you can hear me.
Yes, sir.
Am I coming through clearly for you?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Yes, well, certainly in the HBCU community, we have just a great tradition of excellence in all of our athletic programs. And in our tradition, and particularly at the Division II level, I mean, there's still a purity to the athletic competition. You know, our students are, in fact, students first. Not many of our students will come in and have a full ride, if you will, to participate in a particular sport. But the students will come in and they will get partial scholarships and they'll get financial aid to support their education. So these students are never confused about their reason and their purpose for being at our institutions, and their primary reason is to earn that degree. And as you look at the success rates of our student athletes, you'll see that our student athletes compete well on the fields of competition and in the classroom. So we're quite proud of them. I talk about the support of athletics at this level, and I said, you know, the number one reason that I support athletics at Division II level is because of student success. Student athletes retain and graduate at higher levels. And then in terms of the student development opportunity, I mean, these students are learning these critical life skills that every employer, that every business owner needs to run a business or to be an employee or to work on teams. outside of the institution. So you'll see that on Saturday. You'll see it on the field. You meet our students in the community. You meet them at the restaurants or in the hotels. You will see that these young men and women are gentlemen and ladies that conduct themselves at a very high level.
And you know, Dr. Hampton, I couldn't agree with that anymore. I was in Albany a couple weekends ago when Albany State played Lane College, and during the halftime, I watched the Lane players walk into the halftime facility for the players, the locker room, and there was a kid standing there that was there with parents from Albany State, and he had on a little Albany State shirt, but he stood there, and he gave a high five to every Lane player that would give him one, and almost all of them reached out and gave that kid a high five. And you know, like I know, the game wasn't quite going the way y'all wanted it to, but they showed that high spirit, and it really warmed my heart as it relates to the Lane players. And to me, it's indicative of the culture that we have within historical Black colleges and universities. You know, I'm a two-time HBCU graduate, Albany State University and Florida A&M University College of Law. And, you know, as someone that comes from a family where I was the first in my family to attend college, my grandmother only made it to the 10th grade, and my mom only had a high school education, but they set the foundation so that I could be the first to go to college. And I know what my HBCU did for me. I know what FAMU and Albany State both did for me as a professional, as an individual, as a Black male who didn't quite understand all of my culture and what they instilled in me, and learning the Negro National Anthem for the first time, and learning about the people that sacrificed so much just so I could have that journey, just so I could have those shoulders to stand on. And I gotta ask you, Dr. Hampton and Dr. Burnett, what is it that's in the sauce of HBCUs that make it so amazing for Black students?
Well, you just put your finger on it. I mean, it is in fact our culture. It is the story that we tell. It's our historic mission. I mean, whether you look at Lane College or Tuskegee University, you must put us in our historical context that even continues to this day. 1882, just on the other side of Reconstruction, just fresh out of slavery, Bishop Isaac Lane looked around at his preachers and determined that they needed a common school education. And so here he was educating a population of students who would not otherwise have access to a higher education. And that tradition continues today. I mean, we provide access and opportunity to students who might not otherwise have opportunity to a private, historically Black, residential, church-based community of scholars that is intent on educating the whole student. I mean, we want to educate the student, yes, of course, intellectually. Yes, we want the students to leave our place with their degrees in hand and with a set of skills. But we also want to equip them with these social skills. We want to equip them with, and I don't necessarily say spiritual skills, but a spiritual awareness to understand that there is something that is in fact larger than they are. And that has been our tradition, and we continue to do that even to today. I could say a lot more, but certainly I want to give Dr. Burnett an opportunity.
Thank you, Dr. Hampton. And I concur with what you both state. It is a historic mission of HBCUs that have always had the knack for nurturing a student to reach the highest level of potential. I again stress, like Dr. Hampton, the development of the whole student. That has always been the philosophy for HBCUs and continues in present day as well. Booker T. Washington stressed the need to educate the whole person. That was the hand, the heart, and the mind. So we continue to do that with our students, and I think that absolutely reaches their heart. And so it allows us to be able to spread the positive expressions and the positive experiences that we have at HBCUs that allow us to have generation after generation. You know, Tuskegee is one of those places where you may have five or six generations attending the university, and it's based on the experiences and how they felt about, how they are endearing to the institution. And so we continue to provide those services because we know that it's critically important to keep the doors open of access for our students, and that we know education is helping us to break the cycle of the socioeconomic disadvantage that some of our communities have experienced. And in order to overcome that, we always have to have that opportunity for access and other opportunities out there for our students.
Wow.
That's the only reason. Let me just jump in and add, you know, in addition to the generations, and as Dr. Barnett knows well about Lane College, I mean, we'll have generations of families that will send their students to Lane College. But we also have these just wonderful, just delicious, delectable stories about these students who are the first generation of students to graduate. I had a student recently was the first in three generations to graduate from high school and the first to graduate from college ever in his family.
Wow.
He's gone on to be employed, and his time at Lane, that degree that he earned, has changed the trajectory for him, for his family, his immediate family, and for generations to come.
Yes, sir.
That story is told over and over again.
Yes, sir.
At Lane College and Tuskegee University.
And that's how we break the cycles. That's how we break the cycles of poverty. That's how we break the cycles of not being able to obtain success. That's how we break the cycles of depression. And that's how we teach and educate ourselves about our rights and the basic things we should fight back for. It's not an act of defiance. It's an act of upholding the ideals of this country and the Constitution and making sure that people have an opportunity to life, liberty, and happiness. And it's just as simple as that. And you two have been absolutely phenomenal. I know my listeners have thoroughly enjoyed hearing the coaches and our presidents and the executive vice president of Tuskegee on this line today. And I just have one question for both of you, and I'm going to start with you, Dr. Burnett. Who's going to win the Whitewater Classic?
Well, that would have to be Tuskegee.
She said have to be. Dr. Burnett, I love you. I got to come meet you.
I'll look for you at the classic.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going out on the line right now, and I'm going to predict the score. I'm going to Muhammad Ali on you.
Okay.
I'm predicting that it will be Lane 30, Tuskegee 17. Lane comes away with our first victory in a number of years.
Wow. So, Dr. Hunter, you just pointed to the outfield where you going to hit the ball. You just did that, Doc. Well, I tell you, well, thank you. Thank both of you.
I'm pretty sure we have a catcher out there.
Well, thank both of you.
She was not
going
to be nice.
She said, you warned me. You did warn me. But I love it. I absolutely love it. Well, listen, please continue to do amazing things for our HBCUs. They are more relevant today than they have been at any point in our history. And our students need them to learn not only their academic principle, but to learn who they are as individuals and how they belong in this country and where they fit in and their right to be here and no need to be ashamed to be here, regardless of the current political climate. We got to teach our students to keep pushing. And I can just tell from this phone call that you two are two champions that are making sure that the students at Tuskegee and Lane College have that built in, ingrained, you know, just part of the culture, just part of the DNA of their bodies from this point on. And you are so appreciated. So thank y'all so much. And I will see you at the Classic.
Thank you.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
Absolutely.
Dear John, I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is serious, and I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to when you checked on me? I don't want to leave. But remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range today. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Back to Sunday Car- conversation with Teddy Reese. I tell you, this has been a busy show today, but we're going to wrap up the show. You know, every month I try to make sure we highlight what's going on throughout the community and what we're acknowledging. And as you guys may be aware, this is Head Start Appreciation Month, Head Start Awareness Month, I'm sorry. And we had a great time already with Head Start Awareness Month. Earlier this month, I had an opportunity to join several classes over at Casita Road Elementary School over there with the Enrichment Services Program, Head Start Program. And we read and we had a great time. And when I tell you, those were the best kids ever. And I was begging somebody, please come to my house and help me get my 3-year-old under control. But my wife's gonna kill me for saying that, because she's not that bad. But you know, not that bad. But you know, we love our kids, and we love all of our children, whether they're ours or anyone else's. So you know, just make sure that we're supporting our Head Start programs. You know, make sure we're checking in and go by and read every now and then, or you know, see what you can do to help them out, because they are doing a tremendous service in our community. Our children are such impressionable age at that time, and we got to make sure they have what they need to be successful. But I have with me today Miss Leanna Watts Barrow, who is the Parent, Family, and Community Engagement Manager with the Enrichment Services Program. How are you doing today, Leanna?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for having me and my team. With me, I have Ms. Jamika Lawrence. She is the Parent, Family, and Community Engagement Specialist.
Jamika has stopped smiling since we got here.
And I also have Ms. Kimberly Hamilton, who's my other Parent, Family, and Community Engagement Specialist. And together, we're the Parent, Family, and Community Engagement Team with Enrichment Services Program Incorporated.
Well, that is awesome. I tell you, you have a great team. We've been sitting here giggling and having a great time. But it's all been professional. It's all been around the great work. Now, you guys are doing some great things at ESP as it relates to the Head Start program. And I know you have something that's coming up for Head Start alumni that you wanted to talk about a little bit.
Yes, we do. We are currently recruiting former ESP Head Start graduates to come and share their story with us. Later on in the year, we plan on sharing their stories as a part of a campaign in the community. But for now, we want to establish those relationships with the former ESP Head Start alumni, and so that we can get to know them, learn about their successes, what they've done in life since they've left the program, so that we can share that with the community.
Well, that's great. And there was something about a Fatherhood Friday, and I was like, that sounds interesting. What's going on Fatherhood Fridays?
Yes. So most recently, we our fathers participated in the Million Fathers March, where they were encouraged to bring their children to school on Friday. So we have taken that and ran with it. So every Friday, we try to have a specialized activity for our fathers to increase male engagement in our program. Right now, we're recruiting fathers to come in to be a part of our male engagement committee, so that we can be that collective voice, not only in the program, but in the community, to increase male engagement overall.
Well, that's great. You know, I think it's a beautiful thing when a father is engaged in their child's life, regardless of their relationship status with the mother. You know, once you bring a child into this world, your obligation and responsibility for that child far exceeds any relationship that you can ever be in. So don't worry about the baby mama drama. Don't worry about the daddy being maddie or whatever. You know, just care for your child, be there for your child, support your child, because it's days like this, these early days in life, that are so important. So, you know, I was at the Million Fathers March. I was at another school, but I saw some of the images on social media, and fathers all over this city came out, took the time out from their job, and they said to themselves and said to the world and to society and to our city that precious moments like this with my child is more important than a couple dollars. And I appreciate that. And that is just so amazing. It's so true. And it's going to go a long way. Now, speaking of dollars, I know you guys are getting ready to start a capital campaign, right?
We are, later on next year.
Okay. And what is this going to look like? Tell me what it's going to look like.
Well, it's basically going to be an opportunity for Enrichment Services to expand its mission in the community, educating the community about the successes that our families are achieving and really getting that buy-in from the community that we need to advance our mission.
Well, that's great. Well, we're going to look forward to more information on that. And as soon as you advance that, we're going to make sure that we have you back on here so that we can have a further conversation about it. Because Enrichment Services is an amazing program to our city, and it touches so many aspects that people have absolutely no idea. And Ms. Belva Dorsey over there with the Enrichment Services program, she's been doing an amazing job for so long. In my opinion, she's one of those heroes here that is rarely acknowledged, and she don't look for it. She just want to do the great work for the people in this community, and she is so amazing. You know, her family, her sisters, all of them are just amazing people, and I'm just honored to know them personally. So thank you, Ms. Dorsey. Thank you for all of our people that work in Enrichment Services. You know, every year I get an opportunity to come speak to you guys doing your staff training, and to see so many people assembled that are doing so much great work throughout our region is just absolutely phenomenal. And so we appreciate you, Ms. Liana, and your team for coming here today. And any last words you want to leave us with?
Just to give some background information on the early childhood education program for the agency. It is Head Start and Early Head Start, and we do have pre-K and CCP partnership programs. Mm-hmm. We serve children birth to 5 years old who haven't gone into public school, and it's a comprehensive program that provides high-quality education, health, nutrition, family, and social services. And we don't just serve the child. We don't just serve the parent. We serve the entire family. So we take a holistic approach to serving the families in the community. We always welcome volunteers to come to our organization to read, to volunteer in classrooms. And we had you, like you said earlier, we had you just last week at our Casita mm-hmm. Road Center. So we welcome our community engagement and community leaders, parents, families to come in, partners to come in and volunteer at our centers at Enrichment Services Program.
Excellent. Well, you tell Ms. Dorsey that I say she is still doing it. I don't know how she manages to do this, but she continues to hire the best of the best, the cream de la cream of what the brightest that we have right here in this region. And you guys continue to take Enrichment Services Program to amazing heights and amazing levels. And without a doubt, history is going to tell in this city that it was the Enrichment Services Program that contributed to so many of our children having the academic foundation that they needed to take it to the next level. History is going to tell that the Enrichment Services Program contributed to so many parents being able to further their education, get certifications, and get other certificates that help them advance themselves in their professional careers. And we just right now, we're incapable of even measuring just how impactful the Enrichment Services Program has been for this region. So thank you guys so much. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We've talked to university presidents, we've spoken to head football coaches, and we've spoken to the people that start our children out on their educational journey. We have been all over the map today, but you've heard some great stuff, and I hope that you enjoyed the program, and I look forward to speaking with you again next Sunday. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Take care. Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and its radio programs are not to be considered necessarily the beliefs of this radio station or Davis Broadcast. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.